Welcome to 50 Words for Murder, the podcast where we delve into the stories behind the headlines. I'm your host, Justin, and on today's episode, this was recorded originally on YouTube. We have pulled the audio and repurposed it to the podcast so that you can take it on the go and listen to it at your convenience. If you would like to see these in real time, live, with any of the things that we're showing on the screen, you can go to YouTube and follow me at Justin on TikTok. You can also reach this YouTube channel by going to justinontiktok.com. Going underneath my photo on the far right, and you'll see the YouTube link. Enjoy this episode. Hey, everyone. Hope you guys are having a great night or morning or afternoon, whenever and wherever you're watching this. I am very excited about tonight's show. We have Christiana on here. If you aren't aware of who she is at this point, she served J.P. Miller at a restaurant, left his number, and was, we'll just say, wildly inappropriate. I'll let her share her story. And to be very candid with you, I live in Nashville and I'm currently under a tornado watch until 3 a.m. So if weather goes out, that's going to be something that happens. But I was too excited to talk to her. Like, out of everybody I've talked to so far, I am probably most interested in having this conversation. So I wanted to make sure that we did it tonight. So much so that I'm also going to go ahead and skip the announcements and things that I usually do. The only thing that I'm going to say is that if you are new here first time, please smash that subscribe button. And I'll go ahead and scroll this at the bottom. So if you guys do want to check out merch, the books that I've written, follow the podcast, any of that stuff, you can do it. This tells you where to go. It's justinontiktok.com. But without further ado, I'm going to bring Christiana on and we're going to start having this conversation now. Hey, how are you doing tonight?
Hi, I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good. Well, thank you for coming on, especially so late. But like
thank
I said,
you
to
having
you,
me.
Absolutely. Well, like I said to you in messages, I'm very excited to talk to you because I feel like everything with what happened with you is so recent, and it just really is just another example, a recent example that shows the character of this individual. I'm hard pressed to call him a man. So I'm going to say this individual, but, you know, if you want to introduce people who might not know your story at this point, please feel free to go ahead and then we'll kind of delve into it.
Okay. Well, he sat at my table at the restaurant where I worked. He left his number on his receipt, as you said. I did some digging into him and found some things out. So to sum it up, I've been onto him since February, and I've been trying to figure out what to do with this information or how to bring it out. He definitely said a lot of inappropriate things, as you said, the way he came on to me with the constant begging for inappropriate pictures was not what you would expect from your upstanding, God-fearing pastor type.
Or yeah, there's a lot of things that he does that you wouldn't expect from a man of God, right? So I have it pulled up here, but I haven't pulled it up on the screen yet. When did he come into your restaurant?
It was February 23rd.
Okay. And how was he as you were serving him? Was he trying to hit on you at that point in time, or did it kind of just wait till the end and just leave his number? Or how did that kind of
come out? Waited until the end. He was with another man, and I feel like the vibe at the table was a little bit weird, like maybe they were discussing something, but they were friendly and nothing was particularly strange overall. And the other guy left and he ended up staying behind to pay the tab, and then he left his phone number. I didn't expect anything from him like that because he didn't seem unusually flirty or anything beforehand, and usually they kind of flirt a little bit before they do something like that. So I feel like maybe he wasn't trying to let on in front of the other guy, but when the other guy left, he left his number.
I wonder if that was because he didn't want to show publicly that he, because I'm sure that, you know, obviously he knew that the friend whoever he was with knew that he was married, possibly knew about the other woman. And maybe he didn't want to show that, you know, just try to maintain being upstanding. And I put the receipt up here. So his number's blurred out, which I guess we probably should do. I'm overly analytical. Like, you know, I already said to you with the text messages, like, you know, he did this, like it's just playing a game. Is the $20 tip supposed to be like a way to get your attention? Because to me, like that's like, it's a nice tip. It's 50% roughly, but it's not, you know what I'm saying? It's not like he left a $100 tip on a $46 bill.
Yeah.
So is that kind of what you think he was trying to do?
Probably.
Like flex a little bit. Yeah. I thought so too. I thought so too. Okay. So, so you decided to text him at some point, I'm guessing.
Yes. So when I looked him up, and first of all, I advise all women to look up anybody they're talking to because you can never be cautious enough. And I looked him up, and when I realized who he was, when I suspected that he might be married, I was just filled with rage because I've spent a lifetime witnessing these kinds of situations with these men in authority, especially or often within the church. And I kind of always told myself that if I found myself in that kind of situation, I would try to do something about it, to try to bring it to light, that I would do something like what I did. And I kind of marinated it, kind of let it marinate for a day or so, thought on it. And I decided to go ahead and text him and see what he would say, or just kind of get to the bottom of it. And he was inappropriate. So
when you texted him, is that on the first one? Is that on the group of text messages you sent me the first text? I can't remember.
I don't think so.
Okay, so I won't pull that up yet. So you reached out to him. How long did it take for him, out of curiosity, to get inappropriate? Because I know that when we talked, and you can even tell from the messages that he started asking you for pictures pretty a lot, first of all, and it seemed pretty quickly. So how many messages then did you get roughly before he just started trying to get you to send photos?
It was not far into it at all. I can't say I'm terribly surprised, but I was a little surprised by how quickly he jumped into it, being a near stranger. And at first he just asked for a picture. So I was like, okay, I'll just send a selfie. And then he kept saying, I want more. And then he said, I need a bikini pic.
He did say.
And I kind of tried to hedge around it at first. I was like, oh, I don't think I have any. And he, I'm a professional mermaid. I do events for kids and things. So I have pictures of me wearing a mermaid tail. And so he asked if I had a picture of me with just the mermaid tail, implying topless. When I told him that he didn't know me well enough to see any inappropriate pictures of me, he said, then I really want to know you well. And then a few minutes later, he said, okay, it's an appropriate time.
I'll tell you what, let's let them know. We'll just go through this real quick and I can read them, but it's just, y'all, like every time I see anything about this guy, I just dislike him more and more. It really is at that point. But I mean, if you can read it on the screen, it says, wow, you're spelled, you are, this is like a 44-year-old man, y'all.
Okay. More than that, I think he's like 47, 48.
He's like a 47-year-old man, y'all. He's, and look, I'm not like dogging you guys if you text, you know, this way, but you would expect from a man who is, you know, supposed to be a pillar of the community, you know, a beacon of hope within the church, that he maybe would not say, wow, you are super hot. I love it. The other thing that I want to point out real quick, and I don't know if this has been pointed out to you yet or not, but he says, thank you so much with what, 6 O's, which he also put, like, he loves doing so this way, because he also did that in the obituary that he wrote. He put so with like 8 O's, along with 17 adjectives, by the way, but that's different. So then he does, then you do the winky face back. He asks, what are you doing? Working. Can't stop thinking about the next pic you're going to send. Then I don't know what date this text message is on, but then he says on this one, which is, you know, I don't know how much further it was.
Okay, that, all right, let me get to that.
Yeah.
That was actually last week. So I had not conversed with him since March because I had the screenshots that I needed that showed the sleazy comments. But after I found out what happened to Micah, I was very distraught. And then I found some posts from my friend Kyler, who I think spoke to you as well.
Yeah, Kyler.
I've known Kyler for a while. And so I reached out to them and told them about my interaction with him and sent them all the screenshots and everything. And then I said, should I text him and see what he says? And so I did, with the expectation that what he would say would probably not be what you would expect from the grieving husband. And it was not.
So this was right after she passed away.
Yes. So I was saying anything new the day after I found out about her. This was Wednesday. Wednesday, after he evidently found out Saturday night or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I say, what, is anything new? And he says, yes, lots new, LOL. Like, yeah, my wife died, LOL.
Wow. Well, I love how sly you were with it. That's pretty great, by the way. I'm going to commend you for that. Like, making an old-fashioned the other day thought, I'm guessing that's his drink of choice. So,
that's what he had when he came into the restaurant.
Mm-hmm. I love old-fashions. Now he ruined them for me. Okay. Thanks for that. But, yeah, okay, so here's the thing. I want to talk about this, too. It says, who is this? He could have scrolled up, y'all. This is such a mind game, like this whole, in my opinion. And I said that to you, like, it wasn't that long ago. I'm sure he saved your number. You know, there's no way he didn't. Or maybe because he does have a wife and a girlfriend, he didn't want them to know, maybe, or he saved you with something else. But he could have scrolled up. Who's this? Oh, hey, LOL Mermaid. Have you forgotten me already? And he does. Yeah, anyway, so he says all that. And then, Is this the same one going back, right? Yeah, I think I might have put it in there twice. Mm. Or is it? Yeah, it is. Okay. There he goes. Is this going back to before she passed away?
Yes.
Can you pick?
Okay. Everything is all back in late February, early March, week or so that I talked to him. But that one screenshot is from last week.
Gotcha. Okay. So I think I need a bikini pic of you. I don't know if I have any. Come on. Okay. No bikini. He's really like, he's like a middle schooler in heat or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was very persistent.
How is he so, like, he's got, like somebody said in here, he's got five kids. He's married. He has a girlfriend. Like, how does he runs this church. How does he find time to try to be a player? I don't know.
Dude's not even that hot. Like.
Yeah, well, I want to come back to all of that in a minute. But, yeah. So then he goes, you know, you talk about this. You're in a swimsuit. You're also in a mermaid tail. I guess he was sending you pics or trying to. Oh, he does. They come through. Then he's asking, here it is. Do you have one with just the mermaid tail? He said, give me something. I'm still trying to send you pics. And this is what he ends up sending you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This is. All right. And I guess that's what you had said at some point from here. Like, you know, I don't really send stuff to people that I don't know. And he says down here, well, I really want to know you well.
No, I said he didn't know me well enough to see inappropriate pictures. And he said, I want to know you.
Okay. And then it says, okay, it's an appropriate time. And then I can't tell because it's got the thing blocked over. But then here you're talking about working in the bar. This was on March 4th. He talked about stopping in later. You talked about the old fashioned. And basically, he got you to send this one picture, which is just a normal selfie. So yeah. That's... And then here's the receipt. And for people wondering the timestamp, this is your timestamp right here. Cause I'm guessing you sent me this and somebody even in the comments asked, well, I don't see a date on the receipt. I'm guessing that's why you took this picture or screenshot.
Exactly. Right? When I took the picture, I was mainly just trying to get his name and the phone number. I didn't have a clue it was going to blow up or that any of this tragedy was going to happen or that it was going to be like this at all. So I just took that picture like that, not expecting that the date would matter that much. So I took the screenshot with the time and date on it like that.
So with him, you know, you said he's not that hot. I am just very curious because he seems to get around.
Yeah.
What do you have any idea what it is about him? I mean, I guess when he first came in, before you did your research on him, like, was there like possible genuine interest before you found out who he was, or was it just kind of a turnoff from the very beginning?
I mean, he seemed like he might potentially be a nice person. He wasn't like hideous, but
yeah.
You know, I figured if he hadn't turned out to be what he is, I thought, you know, best case, maybe I get to know somebody nice. But of course, as soon as I looked him up, I suspected that he wasn't the nicest or best.
Most upstanding gentleman.
Exactly.
Maybe. Yeah. did he give any indication that he was a pastor while you were the first time you met him? Did he mention that or?
No, not at all. Not until I texted him. I can't remember if that's in the screenshots I sent you or not. But
I don't remember seeing that, so it might not be, but it's I was just curious kind of the way he was going about it.
I should have sent you that screenshot. I didn't realize I didn't, because in that screenshot where he said that he was a pastor was also the screenshot where he talked about her claiming that she's bipolar and schizophrenic.
Yeah, so I find that very interesting because he seems to tell everybody that she mm-hmm. has mental health problems. Like, it's just like he's trying to build this narrative that there's something wrong with her. And they had been apparently separated for quite some time. She had gotten her own apartment. So she wasn't doing anything with him, you know, but he was still like obsessed with her. And I don't think it was because he actually cared about her. I think that it was because he didn't want her. He has to be in control. So her leaving puts him out of control. You know, I think most women know men like that. I think we all know guys like that. This is a quick, just completely out of the blue question, because I'm just curious, how tall would you say he is? I'm guessing he's a fairly short dude. I'm thinking like 5'7", 5'8", in my mind.
I'm about 5'8" and a half. I don't think I saw him standing. I think he might be close to my height, maybe even slightly more, but I don't think he was very tall, but I don't think he was short either.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know why I'm asking that question. So no. What? Because these short guys, he's got the truck. I almost made the joke that I'm surprised it doesn't have the Carolina squad on it, the way that everything I've read about him. But
yeah,
he just seems that type. So since the text message that you had, have you heard from him at all in the last, I guess, week or so since you sent those? Or has he been?
No.
I guess he probably by now knows you're talking. So
probably. And he might have started to catch on too. I don't know.
Yeah. What else about y'all's interaction should we know about, or that you feel inclined to share?
So one thing that I thought was extremely fishy when I first looked him up, the Facebook page that I found did not appear to have been active for quite a while. And there was a page with her name on it that was linked to his, but it didn't look, with the exception of a few pictures that had been posted within a couple of weeks, it didn't look like it had been active either. So it seemed like there was something fishy about the situation. And then he asked me if I had social media, and he looked up my Facebook, didn't add me or anything, but looked it up. And that's when he saw the mermaid pictures in the first place on my Facebook. Gotcha. But after he looked at my Facebook, I looked up his Facebook again. He had updated it. He had unlinked the profile with her name on it, updated his profile picture, added a bunch of things. It was completely different. I had a hard time finding the page with her name on it at first after that. since it wasn't linked anymore. But then I saw that something had been shared from his page. One of his posts had been shared on supposedly her page. And it seemed a little off. I did some Facebook digging and I found out that that page with her name apparently used to be a joint page between the two of them. So I assumed he had access to it and I didn't know if she did or not, but I got the impression that he might be running it. And I actually considered reaching out to her because if I had been in her situation, I would have wanted to know. When I've been in that situation before, I did want to know. And when I was told, I appreciated it. So I scoured the internet. I could not find any social media or any contact of any kind for this woman, except for one Facebook page that looked like he might be controlling it. And that set off some red flags.
So, and I think based on what I've heard that you're right. My understanding is that when he had her involuntarily institutionalized, he took her devices, deleted a bunch of stuff, took over her Facebook account to the point that she couldn't get it back. And so she had to create a separate Facebook account. So that probably was, again, I'm not being accusatory. I don't know which one you saw, but based on the stories that we've heard, that would make a lot of sense that he was still running it. Which again, just another control factor.
Yeah, really. That definitely made me suspect that there might be some control issues there. So later on, a couple of weeks ago or so, when I looked her up again and I saw her new Facebook page and her videos talking about the abuse, I was not shocked in the least.
Yeah, it's interesting because you've come out and told a story. She had the other woman, Cherish Every, who dated him when he was young. We know about Susie Skinner. And I think my understanding is there's about to be a lot more people that come out about it as well. So I think there has to be, because I mean, this man's lived his entire life cheating on whoever he's with.
Yeah. I highly doubt I'm the only random person he's given his number to. I had a girl that I knew back in years ago before I moved to Myrtle Beach, who I haven't talked to in years, come across my TikTok video, and she commented and said that she matched with him on a dating app.
Wow.
So there are God knows how many women that this man has been hitting on.
Yeah, and I will never miss an opportunity to say this. So the one woman, Cherish Every, he was 19 and she was 14. I just want to make sure every time I get a chance to mention that he wants to date children. And then when he met Micah, we thought it was 14 until today. And then it came out that she was 10 when they met.
Ew.
So, yeah, that came out from I don't know if you've seen this yet, but basically a police report came out from after she was institutionalized. I'll just give you the real quick overview of it. But a police report came out from when she was institutionalized. She was in there for 2 days before she got out. And when she went to go get her purse and her keys, he had already come in and taken them. So she goes back to where her car was, which was at a Walmart neighborhood market. So you might know where it is, but it wasn't there. So she called the police, said, "Hey, my car has been stolen. I think I know who took it." And she, gave JP's information. They reached out and he basically took the opportunity to say, I'm not going to give it back to her because it's marital property and she's mentally ill and she has episodes this time of year, every year. And I'll give it back to her in a month. When this episode's over, because that's how long they last, which is like treating you like a child. Again, it's another form of control because they're already separated at that point. But apparently during that interaction with the officer, she had told the officer that she had known him since she was 10.
Wow.
So even younger than we had originally thought, which is just gross. So I'm going to take every opportunity just to remind people of that when I can.
Were you aware that she was evidently babysitting his children too?
I did. I heard that probably a day and a half, 2 days ago, something like that. And I was like, everything, the church, baby. And again, it's weird to me, not weird, but it's very arrogant of him to do the things that he does, in my opinion. Like, Okay. So with Micah, working a little bit backwards, he officiates a funeral that nobody wants him to do, putting a charity that goes back to him in it. Even in her obituary pictures, one of them is of her, and he has to make sure that he's in the others, that the other two that are there, which is weird. And the pictures he chose are weird. He's got one where they're together, he's a little bit ahead of her, and another one where she's dressed as Wonder Woman and he's Spider-Man, which he sent you the same. He sent you a Spider-Man picture too. Mm-hmm. But it's like, these are weird obituary. Like, this is not what you put on an obituary. It's whatever. But then it's like, okay, he's supposedly dating Susie Skinner. Her husband dies, and he officiates, you know, that funeral as well over his mistress's dead husband's funeral. Then, you know, he's cheating on his wife with Micah while she's in there babysitting for the kid. It's just like, he's so arrogant and so cocky that he will do all this stuff under everyone's nose. And the other thing too, is with Myrtle Beach, like, I agree with you. He's probably giving it to a lot of people, his number that is. And Myrtle Beach, and people will argue with me, but I used to have a condo in Surfside. Okay. So we used to go there all the time. Myrtle Beach, if you live there as a resident, it is not a big town.
Correct.
You know, it's like 35, 40,000 people. Mm-hmm. And it's about a lot of big areas, but the areas where residents actually live are separate from the massive tourist spots and the bars and everything. So it's really a close-knit community, and for somebody to be, you know, the leader of a large church, it's very ballsy for him to just be out there, like, just he's just like not a care in the world. It blows my mind a little bit.
Yeah.
So,
and I wanted something you said reminded me, and I wanted to mention, and this isn't something I have firsthand knowledge about, so I can't confirm it, but it was told to me by somebody who briefly was a neighbor of his, and she said that when she lived in that neighborhood, she saw the alleged mistress so frequently that she thought she was the wife.
Wow. But that wouldn't surprise me, especially if they were separated and she, you know, Micah wasn't there.
This wasn't in the past.
It wasn't during separation? Oh.
No.
Well, all right then.
Yeah.
Are you, out of curiosity, do you have any I'm guessing you probably don't, but do you have any familiarity with the church, you know, in that area? Like, I'm guessing you probably have not been there, but do you have people that you know that have been there, and have they said anything about the goings on of it? Just kind of curious about inside of it a little bit.
I know a few people that have visited, or I've heard a few friends of friends. I think I only know maybe a couple of people actually who've been there themselves, but they didn't care for it and didn't go back. So
that's kind of what I heard. I had a woman on the other night whose husband was a member, but she wasn't, because she didn't like it. Actually ended up, because of this situation, she ended up leaving her husband.
Oh, wow.
Like that night, it was like a few weeks or like the earlier in the week, left his wife, because apparently what she was telling me, and this, by the way, for anybody who wants to watch it, this video is up on YouTube, but, she was basically saying she'd been with her husband for 12 years. And in the last year and a half that he had been part of this church, he completely changed and was basically parroting what JP did. In fact, when Micah was institutionalized, he came home and told her that she needed to be institutionalized as well. He tried to get her fired. She said that she was don't hold me to this, but I'm pretty sure she said she's a forensic pathologist. So obviously very intelligent, very educated woman. So when she realized that, she started calling people that she knew to make sure he couldn't institutionalize her, but he tried to get her fired. Which is, you know, it's a control tactic, right? If you make them so, you know, you make somebody so they're financially dependent on you, everything like that, they can't leave. And so she got to a point where she said that he was my best friend and he is not the same person that I used to be. Mm-hmm. And apparently he got so close with JP that he got to be on the funeral committee. So when he had the ceremony the other day, he was there working the ceremony as well. So, but she was basically saying that when women didn't conform or play ball in the church, then they were considered to be rebellious and they had to do what they had to do. And apparently several women from that church have been institutionalized in similar ways. And the other thing that I had caught the other night, what I found very interesting, which is why I think a lot of the statement that Susie put out was really his words, is she had mentioned, the woman that was on the other night, that her husband kept talking about her having demons. And if you look at the statement that Susie said, she talked about Micah playing chess with demons. So I'm like, this is the words of J.P. Miller. This is not the words of, I mean, it is her words, but it's not her words, you know?
Yeah. And I don't buy the whole bipolar and schizophrenic narrative. You know, I have my own mental health issues. Many of my friends do. And those are things that it's difficult to go through your life without a single family member or close friend ever noticing a symptom. When he's the only one saying it, not a single friend of hers, not a family member who's known her entire life, has the slightest clue that she's schizophrenic, that seems suspicious. I have no doubt that she dealt with severe depression, severe PTSD, but who wouldn't after that kind of trauma?
Yeah, I agree. And I'll give you one more little tidbit for that. She wasn't diagnosed with any mental illness until the year she married JP. The same year she got married is the same year she was diagnosed. So take that for what it's worth. You know, but I agree. Everybody who's talked about her, who's known her going all the way back to middle school, you know, with Kyler talking about her, is that she was just this wonderful, just bubbly, nice, kind person. And I mean, you never know what people have going on inside. I mean, I have my whole theories on why she did what she did. I think that when you look at the footage, you hear the 911 call, you can't deny that she, nobody was with her. She took this act out by herself. And as with Robbie Harvey, I'm going to steal a line from him that he just said, which is basically, we need to stop focusing on who pulled the trigger and more focus more on why she pulled it. And in my opinion on that is that she felt that she had no other choice, that she was defeated. She was beaten down. And this was the one thing that she could do to take control back.
Another thing, I can't imagine the fear and despair that she would be experiencing after all she's experienced for all these years. And I have had my own abusive relationship. It was nothing on that level, but it was not a safe situation. And I had proof. And I was told in the solicitor's office that in the state of South Carolina and in Myrtle Beach, you basically have to be beaten to a pulp to get a domestic violence conviction. So that's one of many reasons why she may have felt completely hopeless.
And I didn't know that. That's absolutely terrible. There's a big push to change domestic violence laws. I don't know if you're familiar with who Joe Petito is. You know, his daughter Gabby was murdered in national news. He has been working diligently to get the laws changed in the way that domestic violence is handled in states. And so far he's been successful in Utah, Florida, and I think he's working on New York right now. So he's been busy. And I mean, it needs to happen, because I feel, we were just talking about this with Robbie, but the way the justice system, the legal system handles these cases for women and children, it's appalling that there is no justice and these people are out right away. And it's just, it's sickening. I think that knowing that, she had no other option, at least what she thought is that she had no other option, because he would not stop coming at her. Yeah. You know, she found a tracking device on the car. And when she went to go file a restraining order, he showed up at the courthouse, which is like that's ballsy to do.
Yeah. So I had a no contact order on my ex, ordered by a judge. And the judge told him that he could come to the house one time and pick up his belongings with a police officer escort. He completely ignored that. He showed up whenever he wanted. He took whatever he wanted. I called the police. The police stopped by and talked to him and then said he was only going into the garage and not the rest of the house, and only taking his things. So they just left him there.
The thing about the situation that put you in, you know, I mean, I know you've thought about it, obviously, but that's part of the problem.
That's how things are in Myrtle Beach.
That's problematic. I think it's, I don't think it's just Myrtle Beach. I think it's South Carolina as a whole, because
that's probably true. Yeah.
Because one of the comparisons I've continued to make about this case, it's very reminiscent of Alec Murdoch. You know, I mean, Alec did different things, obviously, but it's the same concept where you have somebody doing, you know, illicit activities for years and they get overlooked or they pay him off, or because, you know, I would imagine that I would love to see if the doctors who signed off on her paperwork or the judges that signed off on her paperwork to get her committed were members of that congregation. I would find that very interesting to find out. But, you know, he's got the means and the position to make things disappear. And again, with Alec Murdoch, they ignored it until it became federal. And then with the feds, they don't care about your little small local. They don't care about SLED. They came in and finally had to face the music. And then all the other charges came out. And I kind of feel that's the same thing here. And I don't see a world where he will ever get charged unless there's some text messages that are him bullying her saying, yeah, do it, take your own life. I don't see where he was going to have a criminal charge, but I do believe that the family, if they haven't filed already, they're going to file a civil lawsuit for wrongful death. And I have a feeling that as you look into this stuff and the marital assets and the estate, because he's already been trying to move his assets into the church's name or offload them from him, which a judge can clearly see right through that. You know, I lost my train of thought there for a second, but he's just, I think that a lot of things are going to come out. I think there's going to be a lot of financial crimes that come from this, is my guess. Maybe there might be some statutory things that come from this as well, if you can backdate it that far. But yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to get in trouble criminally for her death. So, yeah. Is there anything else that we should know that you want to share? The platform is obviously yours. You've shared a lot with us, and I definitely appreciate you speaking up, because I know it's not easy to do that, especially when you live in the same area as this person. So I appreciate your bravery and your candor and giving her a little bit of a voice. But is there anything else that you have that you want to add?
I just think it's important for people to be aware of these situations. And while tragically we can't help Micah right now, except to bring justice to her, we can help the countless other victims across this country, whether their abusers are pastors or political figures or just random people. We need to pay attention more. A woman should not have to die for people to start paying attention to these situations. And it is a rampant problem in our country and all too frequently in the churches. And I just, if anybody sees these kinds of things happening, if they suspect anything happening, don't brush it under the rug. Don't turn a blind eye to it. I think while the situation with him is obviously a nightmare, he's not the only problem. I think people like him are created by a corrupt system. And I think every person who saw her suffering or suspected that she was suffering and turned a blind eye because they didn't want to get involved or because they admired him is also to blame for her death. I think every person who every person who supported him all along and was willing to brush this behavior under the rug is also responsible for her death. So we need to start holding people like this accountable.
I think that was so eloquently put, and I couldn't agree more. And to kind of just piggyback off that a little bit. There were a lot of people who ignored this. When you have a pastor sitting there saying, don't, you know, let me air my dirty laundry, but don't call my wife. Don't talk about this. When give you this announcement after preaching two sermons for a day that, hey, my wife is dead, leave the church. Don't talk about it, but hey, don't forget to tithe. Don't forget to give us money.
Yeah.
you know, and sit up there and constantly talk about her mental issues and constantly put her down. And this congregation, I don't know how big this congregation is, but they ignored it.
Yeah.
Like you said, they're responsible. They ignored it because when somebody is having a mental health crisis, they do need people that they can talk to. They do need people who they can confide in, but they're so either afraid of him or want to keep him happy that they just ignored what was happening to this woman. Because anybody, even if I had not known what had happened and I saw those sermons where he's asking for a hot wife and talking about mental health issues and all these other things, there are so many red flags when this man speaks. Mm-hmm. And plus that you hear, plus the other going on in the church and they're right. People turn a blind eye and every one of them, you know, you might not be held accountable here, but you, in your heart, you need to know that it's your fault too.
Yeah. People like him think that they're above reproach. He is like this because he thinks he can get away with everything. And he thinks he can get away with everything because he always has.
Yep. 100%. And he thinks, you know, you can tell that he feels that women are property. He can have any woman he wants, any time he wants. And it's a total disregard to anybody who he might be with. It's just, like I said, the more that comes out about him, he is literally just the worst. And the fact that he has weaponized Christianity to help himself profit, that's one of the things. I have no issues with Christianity. And when I say that up front, because I don't want people to think that I'm coming down on Christianity. I'm not even a little bit, but I'm coming down on people who utilize Christianity, utilize God, utilize Jesus to line their pockets, you know, because, you know, apparently there was a situation where he made some kind of an apology, you know, for his affairs, you know, in a letter to the church, I believe, but not to his partner, but to his church. I think this was with his first wife, if I recall. But it was a bullshit apology because he still does it. If you were actually sorry for what you were doing, you would stop and try to do better, but he doesn't. You know, he continues to have an affair. He has a girlfriend. He has a wife. He comes and hits on you. And as we know, you're not the only one. So he has no desire to stop. He feels like there's nothing wrong with what he's doing. And to me, if you're going to be a pastor and you're going to just break one of the 10 commandments daily, then, you know, maybe you're not in it for the right reasons. That's pretty damn obvious.
Yeah.
So, well, I definitely appreciate you coming on and sharing. Like I said, I was really excited to chat with you about all of this because it was so recently when this happened. And, you know, we know that he was still married. We know that he was with Susie based on what we've heard, you know, been told. So for him, it's just, I mean, man, I barely have enough time for my own wife, much less, and you know, everything that I do, much less like, you know, trying to juggle possibly three women plus a job plus, it just, plus kids. I mean, the guy must never sleep. So, but yeah, I hope that, you know, I hope that we're successful in his downfall is all I can say. Before we go, I don't know if you want to, but if you want to drop your socials for anybody that wants to follow, you are very more than welcome to do that. And I can also drop them in the description. That's just if you want people to follow. You don't have to.
It's not necessary. If they do want to see my video, and I probably will post a little more in depth at some point about the interaction and some of my opinions on it. That one is Aranel Omolora, which is spelled Aranel Omolora. But I don't really want to share any of my other socials because that's not why I'm here.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And I'll be candid. I hope that you do make more videos because the one that you did make in regard to this was excellent, which is why I like immediately wanted to reach out to you. It was very, very good. And I think that you bring a lot of insight and opinions. And then what you even just said at the end, you know, talking about, you know, with her and with changing the way that this domestic violence is handled, I think that that voice will carry. So I hope that you do.
Thank you. I'm glad to do anything I can to raise awareness for Micah's sake, but also for all of the others.
And let me ask you one, because I've seen this question like three times from three different people. So I'll ask you this one. I'll throw it up here. They want to know, and you might not have noticed this, was he wearing his wedding ring at the bar when he was there?
I honestly didn't notice. I've thought about that since then, and I wish I had paid attention to that, but I didn't notice.
All right. I figured you probably didn't, because I figured if you had, you probably would have already said it.
Yeah.
It is now, not something.
If he had been flirty then, I probably would have noticed, but there wasn't anything like that. I just didn't think about it. Yeah, I think I was pretty busy that night too.
And for those of you who are just coming in a little bit late, you can obviously go back and watch this from the beginning, but he wasn't flirty or inappropriate. He was with a friend until after the friend left, and then he just left his number. So, yeah, for people asking about her socials, I'll drop her account in the description, so anybody wants to follow her. Well, anyways, Christiana, I appreciate you coming on and sharing your story and being a voice. And, you know, if there's anything else that I can do or anything else that you want to come back on and say, the platform is all yours. It's at your disposal. Just let me know.
Thank you.
But I appreciate you coming on and sharing.
Absolutely. Thank you for taking the time to listen and help share this message.
Absolutely. Well, everybody have a great night, and we will probably see y'all tomorrow.